listen, amen. That is the title track of his brand new album titled 828. It's done by Arnold David Ratcher on In Season with Sake. It is now 11:10, or rather 10 minutes just after the hour of 11 o'clock. And I'm joined live in studio by Pastor Michelle Grace Links on Insight with Pastor Links to chat about the spirit of offense.
Wow.
Now, I went to my dictionary just to find an understanding of what the word offense mean, you know, just to refresh our listeners as well. It simply relates to the annoyance or resentment brought by a perceived insult to oneself or disregard for oneself. And the fact that you are here to break that down spiritually, what the spirit of offense is, we are all ears. How are you, firstly?
Well, I'm blessed. The weather is amazing.
Right.
And the drive was good. Uh-huh. And I'm fired up for today. Awesome. I am so excited to share. I think at some stage, all of us, including myself, had to deal with offense and had to overcome offense. And the Bible says that it's impossible for that offense will not come. It will come, but how do you deal with it? And today we're going to dive into that. You know, what is offense? I know you read the definition, but in terms of as a child of God, you know, and how do we overcome it? And can you overcome it? And, you know, do we have a reason to be offended? Sometimes we justify our offense, you know, and so you can overcome it. And I want to share some things today, some insights from the Word of God, but also my own experience and some symptoms and how I've dealt with it, you know, and that you can overcome it. I've seen how this spirit of offense has ruined so many relationships. You know, in the workplace, marriages, family, ministries. I believe that it's an end time strategy of the enemy to destroy families and to destroy relationships. We were on the topic last week on relationships, and I believe that offense is really just the bait of Satan.
Sure.
And maybe I'm running ahead of my time, but there's a book by John Bevere, and he writes on the bait of Satan, you know, and how we fall for this bait. It's something that the enemy, a strategy that the enemy has been using for so many years, and yet we still fall for it as a believer. We see it over and over. And the Bible says that in the last days, many will be offended. And so I'm not sure about you, but I've just seen an increase of this. People get offended for anything. You know, and so even through the pandemic, we saw how people got offended. Some said, wear a mask. Others said, don't wear a mask. Some said, get vaccinated. Others, and there was such a brooding of offense over small things. And nowadays, we are so afraid to post something, even if it's biblical, because we are afraid of offending people. And I believe that that's also fear. Fear of man is a snare. And you're so afraid to confront someone, even in love, they take offense. And so it's something that we're seeing, but it's something that we can guard our heart against and we can overcome it. And we'll share about that.
I love that. I love that. So I gave, you know, an Oxford Dictionary definition of what offense is. But what is your definition of offense, and also what happens when you take offense?
Okay, so offense is taken. It's not given. You know, you open up your heart for it. I believe that when expectations are not met, offense comes. So, for example, I expected you, hypothetically, to open the door for me. You did not open the door for me. I got offended. So I took offense. I expect my husband to take out the dirt, make coffee in the morning. He did not do it. I took offense. So I take it as rejection. You know, you're rejecting me. And I believe that when expectations are not met, offense comes, because I expected you to do this. You didn't do it. But expectations were not communicated. So when expectations are not communicated, I cannot justify my offense. And so as soon as you pick up that offense, you got to drop it. And there's so many dangers, and I'll speak about that. When you take offense, I've been there. You know, what's so funny? What is so strange? One Sunday I preached on this very topic,
yeah,
on the spirit of offense. Mm-hmm. The very next day, I was tested.
Goodness.
So the very thing that you minister on, you'll be tested in, you know. And sometimes offense comes because it tests your heart, it tests your capacity, it tests the maturity of the believer, it tests who are you in Christ. And so when we are not mature in Christ, mm-hmm, when we do not die to self, Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live by faith. And so when offense comes, when we allow it to pollute us, means we have not died to self.
Sure.
And the Bible says in John 3 verse 30, I need to decrease so that he can increase. Mm. Offense is not a fruit of the Spirit. And so offense affects everything. Let me tell you, it affects. Let me just read some things to you that I wrote. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Offense, when you take offense, offense alters your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Offense changes your thinking. As a man thinks, so is he or she. So when offense comes, it's evident that the person is offended.
Mm.
Okay, I'm taking it from my own life, and I've seen it, people around me. When offense comes, speech starts to change. You become critical.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you do, you're allowing poison in your heart. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yep.
So when you allow poison in your heart, you start speaking toxic words.
Yeah.
You become critical because everything you filter through the offense, you know.
Sure.
And whatever you say, like, I will take offense because I'm offended with you. Everything you say, I disagree with. Because I'm filtering it through the offense.
Yeah.
So you become critical. You struggle to love because your heart is now cold. The Bible says, guard your heart. So when the offense comes, it's got to be a guard. Now, there's a difference between, as I said before, guarding your heart and hardening your heart.
Yeah.
Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues, plural, of life.
Mm.
And you carry unforgiveness in your heart, you know, and so that starts to alter your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You start acting, behaving differently. Even in people's text messages, people that used to send you heart emojis, flowers, now it's like, good morning, full stop.
Yeah.
How are you?
HOD.
That's it.
Mm.
You know, garner the emojis, garner everything. They're expressing themselves through that hardened heart and offended heart.
Yeah.
You will find that even in your worship, it affects your the way you worship.
Sure.
You know, you struggle to lift up your hands and to worship. You struggle in serving. What it does, it stagnates you. It puts you in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
People do not realize that this is the bait of Satan. This is an end time strategy of the enemy, what? To rob, kill, and to destroy.
Sure.
It wants to rob you from your peace, from your joy, wants to destroy your destiny, your dreams, your relationships. Rob, kill, and destroy you.
Mm.
Wants to take you out. The longer you are nurturing or nursing the offense, it will increase. And the longer it will take for you to get out of it.
Mm.
Getting out of it is possible. But the more you linger on it, it will increase. And then it's the absence of joy, absence of peace, self-pity, and you become bitter. And it leads to anger. In Matthew 24, when it speaks about in the last days that many will become offended. Now, I want you to look at this pattern. It says that many will be offended, number one, will betray one another, number two, hate one another.
Sure.
So there's a pattern.
Mm.
Offense leads to betrayal, leads to hatred. And I want to share an example with you from the Word of God. Cain and Abel, yes, one example, but one that I was reading in 1 Samuel from chapter 15, sorry. It's the story of David and Absalom.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that story.
Yeah.
But Absalom was so offended with his father because of what had happened to his sister, Tamar. You know, so he took matters in his own hands and then conspired, you know, to have his half-brother murdered because he felt that his father did not deal with it in the manner that he should. And he took offense in his heart and he rejected his father. And he had that offense. He never spoke about it. And what he did was he started disrespecting his father. He dishonored his father. What he did is conspired against his father. Offense, betrayal, hatred. There's a pattern.
Sure.
When it's not resolved, if you do not deal with your offense, it will lead you to betray the person. You'll end up murder. And it did not end well for Absalom. You know what happened to him in the end? His hair got in the trees. He got murdered.
Yeah.
It did not end well because he drew people away from his father. He said, I will deal with things better because he felt in his heart that my father's not fit enough to be a king.
Sure.
And so that happens. That happens in marriages. It happens in ministries. Many people leave ministries because out of offense. And they're not willing to deal with it the biblical way. And there is a biblical principle, a protocol in which you can deal with this. So I've said a lot. Any other questions?
Sure, there are definitely. You took us through some of the symptoms.
Yes.
And also why you classify it as a spirit, not an emotion. But I want to know then, you know, when one has taken offense, what is one supposed to do when one feels offended?
Okay, I'll tell you what I do. You know, when offense comes. So offense comes does not mean that you're a pastor, you're a leader, whatever you are. You're supposed to be unoffendable, but it happens. You know, it happens. And so what I immediately do is I acknowledge that I'm offended.
Okay.
Because many times we don't want to acknowledge that we're offended because we're like, oh, I don't get offended. You know, I'm not offended. But my behavior and my speech indicates that I'm offended.
Yeah.
And so immediately I say, Lord, this is how I'm feeling. I take it to God, you know, first. I take it to the Lord. I say, Lord, I'm hurting right now. I'm offended, you know, but remove this offense because I'm starting to have bitterness in my heart and I'm starting to resent this person because that starts to happen.
Sure.
When you see them, you're like, you have this feeling, this knot, and you're like, I don't even want to look at you, you know. I don't even want to be in your space, in your company, you know. I don't want to be around you because I still have this inside of me. I'm not sure if anyone has experienced that, but that's what I experienced.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be in your space. And then I know that is indicating to me that I still have an issue and offense in my heart. And so I take it to God and say, Lord, remove this. Because this is not what you want, you know, and I exchange it for your love. Give me your love so that I can love and that I can release and that I can forgive. Now, we're not saying when we forgive that we are endorsing someone's behavior or we are saying that what they did was right. But God expects us to forgive. It says forgive. Then say, if you feel or justify, you know, you need to forgive, you know, forgive us, forgive me, you know, forgive me, Lord, and I will forgive others. It's in the Lord's Prayer. So we have to forgive. I'm not saying that it can happen immediately. Sometimes forgiveness is a process. I've been there and like every day, Lord, help me to forgive, help me to forgive. And that's normal. You know, it doesn't just happen instantly. But it is possible to walk with a forgiving heart. Is possible to walk without offense. Is possible with God. You cannot do in your own strength because our fight is not against flesh and blood. You must remember that, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers. So offense is there. Our fight is not against the person. You know, we have to deal, we have to look the spirit behind it. And sometimes people do it intentionally. They will offend you intentionally because they want to hurt you. But sometimes it's unintentional. Maybe you forgot to invite someone to a birthday party. It was not intentional. or you forgot to mention someone's name at an event. It was not intentional. The person took offense.
Yeah.
But it is important, if you feel offended, to go to that person and say, listen, you know, what you did really, it hurt me. And I took offense. And I'm not supposed to feel like that, but that's what you did. And it's important that you communicate that and say, the way you spoke to me or what you did offended me. I took offense. And so you give the person, the other person, an opportunity to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
And clear the air. Immediately you feel that release.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately you feel, wow, I can see clearly now, you know. Because what offense does, it leaves you foggy. Your mind, everything, it affects everything about you. Let me tell you, I've dealt with people that were offended or even offended with me, and everything about them just went on a pause.
Yeah.
They couldn't worship. They struggled to worship. They struggled to be productive. And so that's why I say it's the spirit, because it affects everything. Mm. You know, all of a sudden, the atmosphere in your home is different.
Yeah.
You're offended with your husband. Everything is tense.
Mm.
Everything with your children. Everything is like, oh, strange and tense. And it's a spirit that is dwelling there, because we have now entertained offense in our home. We've brought that. We've entertained it.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's important that we are aware of the symptoms. We are aware of what we need to do. And offense, I've seen, makes people bitter. You know, sometimes we are older and we're still bitter about things that happened 10 years ago.
Sure.
But Jesus says, I come to give you life and life in abundance. Living in bitterness and offense is not the abundant life, is not your portion. God wants you to be happy. He's come to give you life and life in abundance. That's why it says the enemy's come to rob, kill, and destroy. He wants to take from that abundant life. Yeah. He doesn't want you to live in abundant life, you know, and he wants to cause division. Offense can split up businesses, churches, ministries. I've seen it, relationships. If we had just taken the time to communicate.
Sure. Mm.
But what we do is we isolate. We pull back and we don't want to communicate. So the enemy says, keep quiet, silence, you know. Bible says that in your sin, you know, if you do not speak, you know, the Bible says those who conceal this sin cannot prosper.
Mm.
So when you conceal it, when you hide it, you cannot move forward.
Yeah.
But once there's open communication, there's clarity, there's understanding, there's unity.
Yeah.
And you know the enemy hates unity, because where there's unity, God commands a blessing.
Come on.
So,
sure. Now, you mentioned something that, you know, with regards to what, you know, you do when you feel offended. Speaking from a personal point of view, you mentioned that you acknowledge that.
Yes.
You take it up to God.
Yes.
You know, and even take it a step further by going to that person and apologize. Now, for those who offend you intentionally, right, and you've done all of those steps, even the last one by going to that person, and then you ask them for forgiveness because you've been acting funny, if I could use the word, lack for a better word, and then they disregard that apology, you know, and they continue to shove you away. What can one do?
Speak from my personal experience.
In that situation.
I'll speak from my personal experience. You know, you can make someone forgive you. You cannot make someone love you. You cannot make someone be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you've done what you could do, then you've got to draw the line. You know, because what happens then there's a manipulation that comes in. And then there's this thing that's hanging over the relationship and over the friendship. You know, you can only do so much. You've done what you could do.
Yeah.
And according to the word of God, now you have to take a stand. Now you cannot allow someone to hold that against you, you know, and manipulate you and remind you. And it cannot.
Sure.
It cannot. And so you have to ask God, God, do you want me still to be in this friendship? You know?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a test, because every relationship will be tested so that it can be trusted. Maybe this situation was just a test of our relationship, you know. But you cannot force someone to change. They must want to change. True. They must want to be different. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot force someone to love you. If you continually have to pour out, it's going to weigh you down. You're going to feel so bogged down, weighed down. And no, that's not healthy. That's not a healthy friendship.
Going back to that.
Yes.
Awesome. Sure. Now, early on, you touched on how, you know, the spirit of offense can divide a relationship, ministry, whatever it may be. Mm. What are the dangers of a divided heart?
Ooh, I spoke about this on Monday night. I'm gonna go to my notes. You know, last week, the Lord just downloaded this divided heart to me, and I was so surprised when I started speaking about this divided heart. And in the vision, I just saw a heart that split. And when you have a divided heart, I'm going to give you some of the symptoms. Now, divided heart means split into parts, being separated, and there's disagreement. So when you have a divided heart, I'm going to speak about the signs of a divided heart, but also maybe read two scriptures. It says in Matthew 6 verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Okay. Then James 1 verse 8 says, being a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. When you have a divided heart, you cannot truly commit to one person.
Yeah, true.
You cannot truly commit to one ministry. Or when you're in a marriage and you have a divided heart towards your spouse, it's going to be evident it's not going to work. Because your heart is in different places. It's not committed to one person.
Yeah.
It's not committed to one business. It's not committed to this friendship. It's not committed to this dream. You know, you're all over the place. And so you become unstable in your behavior.
Yeah.
Because you're all over. A divided heart always, you know, they converse partial truths. There's never this honesty and transparency. They'll tell you half-truths, but there's not that level of openness and just say, you know, this is where I'm at. Because their heart is with you, but their heart is always also with someone else. And they know deep down inside that it's wrong, but they just cannot help themselves because their heart is divided. Someone actually sent me a message the other day and said, oh my gosh, I listened to you speak about a divided heart, and now I understand what was the challenge in my marriage all these years.
Sure.
My husband was not devoted to me with a one heart. His heart was divided. That's why it did not work out. If you go into relationship, I believe that it's unfair to go into a relationship knowing that your heart is not completely for that person. When we get saved, we say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my everything. We cannot commit to God with a half heart, third of our heart. It does not work. Our relationship with God will not survive, you know. And God speaks strongly about that. He says, you know, he's a jealous God. Why are your hearts towards other gods? I want you for myself. And that is the same commitment we need to have with our spouse, with our ministry, everywhere, you know. And so also deception. Someone that's got a divided heart, you will see elements of deception. Because I don't tell you everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you a bit here, but just what you need to know. And then, yeah, the communication is vague and then also unpredictable. It's very unpredictable. Yeah. A divided heart. And God speaks strongly about the heart that is deceptive. David says, create in me a pure heart, O God. Whatever we do flows from the heart. Throughout the Word of God speaks about the heart. Speaks about the heart is deceptive above all things. God knows. And those, you know, with that type of heart, it speaks about a stony heart. Speaks about a heart of flesh. Because when we love, we don't love with our mind.
Yeah.
When we love with our hearts. When we worship, we worship with our hearts, with our being. When we give our hearts to the Lord, it speaks. The heart is so important. If your heart stops working, what happens?
You die.
You die. Flatline. You know, so the heartbeat is so important. How is your heart beating? How's your heart beating? in your marriage, in your relationships? Is your heart healthy? What is the condition of your heart? Sure. I did a message once, a sermon, and I had two images of a infected heart, a unhealthy heart, and a healthy heart. And you have to see what it looks like. The one heart that was unhealthy was dark and purple, and the other heart was fleshly and beautiful. And that's what happens spiritually. When we allow, you know, that toxic behavior, when we allow those type of things to infiltrate our heart, that's what happens to us. Because, you know, when we have that, when we allow offense and a divided heart and a stony heart and all that, it affects everything in your life. Fix the way you think, fix the way you love, fix your dreams, your purpose. It affects everything. That's why the Bible says, guard your hearts at all times, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know, it was so interesting. I read about before Judas betrayed Jesus, the Bible says that Satan entered Judas' heart. Isn't that amazing? Didn't enter his mind. It entered his heart. Sure. And then he went to betray Jesus. I thought, wow.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, the heart is so important. Let me tell you, I've seen it. When people's heart is not in the right place, their behavior, everything changes. You know, they become quiet. They're not that fun person anymore. They're not that, you know, all in kind of person. Mm. You can see it. It changes your countenance.
Sure.
It changes the way you speak, everything. You used to worship with your hands up, now you worship with your hands down, you know? And that is, that means that offense is controlling your behavior.
Sure. Now, to wrap this all up, Apostle Links, can one be delivered from the spirit of offense?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Number one, you need to acknowledge that you are offended. You can, the minute you are honest. That's why I mentioned the scripture. He who conceals his sin cannot prosper. The minute you reveal it, God can heal it. Mm-hmm. You know, the more you reveal, God can heal. When you are holding on and you're saying, oh, no, I'm not offended, and you have pride, and you're not willing to let go, how can God deliver you from it if you do not acknowledge? You have to acknowledge. You have to humble yourself and acknowledge, say, I've got a problem. Mm-hmm. I'm offended. You know, I remember this couple came to speak to us one day, and that morning I just said to him, he was speaking, and in this whole conversation, I said one thing, I said, you are offended.
Sure.
He was like, you are offended, but he acknowledged that, he was teachable, and he said, you are so right, I am offended, you know, and it was something so small, but he was going to abort his destiny.
Sure.
By holding on to that offense. And because I spoke the truth in love and I said, you are offended. And it's important that we speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
You know, be with people that is able to speak that into your life. You know, speak the truth in love. Go to your pastor. Tell them how you feel. You know, even when you have a dispute in church, it's important. The Bible says, go to your brother. Mm-hmm. Go to your sister. That's how you can get delivered. Sometimes people want the whole spiritual experience, you know. Sometimes just practical. Go to your brother, to your sister, to your pastor, your leader, and say, I am offended with you. I did not like that. I did not appreciate it. And, you know, this is, I just wanted to let you know how I feel. And this is why I've been behaving. And this is why I've not been answering your calls.
Yeah.
This is why I've not been opening your WhatsApp messages.
Blue ticks.
And not, and took my blue ticks off.
Yeah.
And everything is private. And, you know, people even block, end up blocking people because they're offended. You know, they end up cutting off people if they had to just deal with it. So you can be delivered, but it doesn't always have to be a spiritual experience. Sometimes the word of God is directing you in what you need to do. You just need to do it.
Sure.
I'm offended. I'm sorry. And God help me.
Yeah.
And God will help you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. And you move forward. You know? But you have to be intentional about it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You have to be intentional about that. Yes. Offense can divide your heart. A bait of Satan is what you label it, right? Offense. Mm. Sure. Clint is saying, hallelujah, it's true. I can agree with that. And I believe there was a message of, you know, someone asking if this could be a podcast as well.
Wow. I actually am going live on TikTok, on my TikTok account. So I'm live there.
There you go. There you have it. And for those who would like to, you know, get a hold of you, maybe on social media to follow you, where can they go about that?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Michelle Grace Links. And then also the Love Church Facebook page. For those that don't know, I am a pastor at the Love Church. My husband and I pastor a church. And yeah, we love what we do. We love people. And that's why we do what we do. Yeah. And then Instagram, Michelle Jesus Skull Links. Mm-hmm. And then on TikTok, Michelle Grace Links. I'm there. I'm quite active on social media. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to inbox me as well. I'm there. And yeah, it's time to be transparent. It's time to talk the real things. These topics, you know, people suffer. People go into isolation. People live short-lived lives. Mm-hmm. You know, they are alive, but they're not living because of things like this. Oh. You know, you are just functioning. So offense makes you dysfunctional. And you're just alive. You know, sometimes we're offended with my uncle, my brother, the school teacher that never acknowledged you. You know, from childhood, God can heal you from the childhood trauma so that you can live your best life now. You know, we always say the best life is about to come. No, you need to live your best life today, now, a life of freedom.
Sure. Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Werner Links.
That's my husband.
All right. Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Some powerful teaching. That is so amazing. Carol is asking, where's your church situated?
Well, we're at number 20 Sultana Street in Shirley Park, Balville. And we have service 9 a.m. this Sunday morning. So you're more than welcome to come. We are ready for you.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for your time. And I cannot wait for next week as to what you will be unpacking for us on Insight with Pastor Links. Thank you so much.
It was lovely being here. Listen to you and see you next week.
Awesome. Right. That was Pastor Michelle Grace Links on Insight with Pastor Links. And she was unfolding the spirit of offense, you know, it's more of a spirit, not an emotion, and it can even cause and lead to you having a divided heart. And however, she did wrap up the segment and the topic with the fact that you can get delivered and healed from offense. It's 11:42. Before I love and leave you, there is more music coming up your way.